You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Available on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Pelicans Insider, credential member of the media, editor over at LockedOnPelicans.com, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Here with you all on this Tuesday, day after I had the longest day ever yesterday, so I wanted to sleep in a little bit before getting the podcast out, get back to normal. Because of all that craziness, we're going to have a bit of a shorter podcast today, but going to give you some important updates that you all, I know, want to hear. Throughout the call, what do you guys want to hear on the pod? And you mentioned both Frank Jackson and Solomon Hill. What are their statuses? Is there any updates on their injuries when we might see them on the court? I will go over both of those guys for you and maybe give you an update on when you could be seeing them. And we'll talk a little bit about mainly Solomon Hill and what he might look like when he returns to this team. After that, talk about the final open roster spot the Pelicans have since they did waive Rashad Vaughn in that trade that sent Dante Cunningham to Brooklyn. Talk about where they could go with that. Maybe there's a smart way to use that for next season as well. We'll talk about all of that in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So injury news, injury updates, since that is what you all want to hear about. Let's talk about it a little bit, with the first being Frank Jackson, the 31st pick in the previous NBA draft, still inactive because of the foot injury that he broke after already having a foot injury. And we figured maybe around the end of January, when Jackson was kind of getting to practice, but we've had no recent updates from the Pelicans talking about him or anything like that. This one you guys don't need to worry about too much, because frankly, when he frankly, when he does come back from this injury, he's going right down to the G League. He's not going to be a guy that's going to see time with this team this year. That's for a number of reasons. One, very similar to Diallo last year, he's a very green player, played 1 year in college, that was it. Diallo played, you know, very few minutes in his time at Kansas. So you've got a guy who's got a lot of upside, but it's raw, it needs to be refined. He needs to be practicing with the team, working with coaches, trainers, and all of that on a daily basis to really be able to get the most out of it. We've also seen that this coaching staff, which is coaching for their jobs potentially, isn't going to trust a rookie or a green type of player like this, someone who's untested. Diallo has struggled in his 2 years here to get minutes because the Pelicans can't trust him on the court. Yes, he brings you energy, he brings you desire and drive and all of that, but that only gets you so far. There's a reason they've gone with vets that they feel more comfortable with, that they trust to kind of understand the concepts of what they're trying to do out on the court, than these younger rookies with much higher upside that may represent the long-term future of this franchise. So no real update yet. Hasn't been cleared from the foot injury. We don't know for sure if he's practicing with this team, going through contact and all of that. But when he does return, it's going to be down in the G League. He might get a handful of minutes here and there, but they're going to likely do what they did with Diallo last year, where you send him down, send him with a trainer to work with him, and kind of just go from there. Maybe you see him towards the very end of the season, but if the Pelicans are going to be in a tight playoff race, you're likely only going to see him brought up if there's an injury out there to a guard or someone in this rotation, particularly, and we'll talk about it in the second half of the podcast today. We're just going to go two segments here, where he might be brought up, you know, depending on who they sign with this open roster spot, if the Pelicans sign anyone at all, or just kind of rotate 10-day contract players through everything. Solomon Hill is a bit of a different story because he was a key contributor for the Pelicans last season, being one of the guys who got significant minutes with this team, was a starter from almost the entirety of the year, even though there was a bit of a benching there, and, you know, then tore his hamstring. We haven't had any recent updates. Back when it happened and towards around the end of the year, Alvin Gentry gave a bit of an update then, saying he's got a bit of a ways to go before he can actually get back on the court and play. And it was expected that maybe around the end of January, beginning of February, we'd see him make his return. And that was really according to the Pelicans themselves, right when this happened, kind of around September or so. So, you know, here's the thing with this. You can't put a actual definitive timeline on a torn hamstring that you have surgery on. It's really going to depend on the player, how they feel, and things like that. So it's definitely, you know, a tough, nebulous kind of thing to be able to do. So I know people are kind of frustrated that we haven't seen him yet and that we haven't really gotten any update on him since kind of January, end of the year. So that's kind of been the problem. There are ranges when he might be able to come, and they thought maybe as soon as February. But again, you don't really know for sure with these kind of injuries. So we haven't had an update recently. You know, I'd be expecting March from people I've talked to regarding the team and around the team. No one really thought February was a realistic possibility in the first place. They thought there was a chance. That's where you get that timeline from. So, you know, maybe you see him in the middle of March, I think is what you're looking at. And you'll maybe get a handful of games out of him. And then he might be ready to go for the playoffs. You want to look for a comparison, though, to this injury. Chris Middleton of the Milwaukee Bucks went through this last year, where he tore his hamstring, came back with around 50 games left early on February last season. He was on a minutes restriction for the first 5 or 6 games he played and wasn't allowed to play on the second nights of back-to-back before finally hitting 30-plus minutes, really for the most part, the rest of the season before really hitting his stride. And if you look at his game chart, you can kind of see the minutes progressively increase as time goes on, starting with 15, then 20, hovering around that 20-minute mark, then 25, then 30, then getting to 35 in that starters range that he played all the time for them. The good news is that once he's off that minutes restriction, Middleton, who's a far better player, of course, than Solomon Hill is, at least offensively, is his production was high, and it wasn't like this type of injury slows you down. You've just got to get past that minutes restriction, which is about 5 to 10 games or so. So if that's the case for the Pels, what's that mean? When are we looking at him here? And I mean, March is kind of around the corner. So if we're saying mid-March, say maybe March 11th or 13th. And again, this is a guess on my part when maybe we see him. I don't even know if he's going to be ready by then. You're looking at maybe getting 7 or 8 games of a fully healthy Solomon Hill to end the year, which could be useful. The Pelicans certainly would like some more wing depth here, but ultimately we don't know. There's still really no update, but I'd say this timeline needs to be moved further and further back when we keep getting no word from the Pelicans. Like I said, I've talked to people about it. No one really expects him to be ready for February. I think we'd be stunned. I don't quite know his status update, if he's going through a lot of contact. You see him out there shooting before games. You see Frank Jackson out there shooting and doing spot-up shooting as well. Ball handling, they do some light bit of ball handling, nothing too intense there. So I think it kind of gives you an idea of where they might be, you know, kind of throughout this as they kind of return from injury. But don't really factor on any of them to be big players here this season. Certainly not Frank Jackson. Maybe you get a handful of good regular season minutes from Solomon Hill, but looking like he'll be at least back maybe for the playoffs should the team make it, that's when you have to look for him to potentially make an impact. So before talking about open roster spots, maybe what this team wants to do with the one that they have remaining, don't forget tomorrow, Wednesday, I will be the co-host of the Locked On NBA podcast every Wednesday going forward. So you want to catch up on things that have happened around the league, the games from the night before, the games upcoming Wednesday night, get a preview of all of those. John Corrales of Locked On Celtics and I will be hosting every Wednesday edition of the Locked On NBA podcast. So make sure you listen and subscribe. So when you look at the Pelicans roster, they still have an open roster spot with the waiving of Rashawn Vaughn a couple days after the trade deadline deal that brought him here from New Jersey and sent out Dante Cunningham to the Brooklyn Nets. New Jersey, Brooklyn, I still get those two confused. So the Pelicans have an option here. I think we're all assuming Emeka Okafor is going to sign for the rest of the season. That's what I would do. He's played well for this team, has helped stabilize this rotation a little bit. But this team needs another body to at least have an option out there to put someone out on the court. And they can go a number of different ways with it. I think we know big is set now with Okafor kind of being that guy. Diallo getting more minutes and slowly but surely, still very slowly, earning a bit of the trust of the coaching staff. You've got maybe Solomon Hill returning, maybe not. Like we said in the last segment, it's still kind of unclear. But I think they're happy with Etuan Moore at the wing a little bit, with Darius Miller and how he's played at the wing as well. And you're starting to see him get kind of those crunch time minutes or closing minutes with the starters instead of Rondo being out there, and you're running out a much better lineup, I think, one that everyone is kind of happy with. So you have that kind of set right now, leaving you some options at guard. You have Rondo, who's played well since the benching, and I talked last week about how I think this is some of the best coaching that Alvin Gentry has done yet with this team. But you also maybe can't rely on Rondo long term, and there's games when he really doesn't look good. And I don't know if this team's fully invested and bought into DeAndre Liggins and how he's played. So you've got to maybe look to bring in some more backcourt help. There's rumors out there that Vince Carter might be bought out by the Sacramento Kings. That's a name that I'm sure, you know, the Pelicans would take a look at. This was a name Pelicans fans wanted in free agency, to be honest. I don't know if that's the direction this team should go, though. Here's the issue why. One, he's 41 years old. We're going to touch on that. Keep that in mind, though. He's playing only 17 minutes per game this year and not playing particularly well in those minutes. So you've got him averaging 5 points per game, shooting 38.5% from the field overall, shooting a little bit of, shooting all right from three at 35.3%, nothing outstanding. So this is kind of one of those things where it reminds you a little bit of Tony Allen, where he's playing limited minutes, he's got the name, it's a guy you would trust, obviously, out there on the court, but he's not giving you much at the age he is. And he's certainly not going to give you guys anything next year. That's the other concern here. The Pelicans are likely going to be in the luxury tax. And I was talking to Fletcher Mackel yesterday a little bit about kind of where their cap situation stands. And look, there's almost no way this team's going to avoid the luxury tax next year, depending on the contract that you give Boogie. If he's getting anywhere from 25 to 30 million, you're kind of basically be forced to pay it. I think that's one of the reasons the Pelicans have wanted to avoid it so much this year is so that they don't end up in the repeater tax next season. Let that kick in 2 years down the road from now. So you've got to kind of plan out for next season a little bit and do as much forward thinking as you can. And bringing in a young guy, and this is something we've seen the Pelicans do really well over the past number of years, bring in a young guy, sign him for the remainder of the season, put him on a low partial guaranteed deal for next year that pays him basically the minimum, and boom, you have a player on a cheap contract next year that you've already got kind of in your system. He's not learning on the fly in training camp and preseason and still, you know, potentially struggling to adjust. You also get an extended look at this guy for the rest of the year. If he doesn't play well, you just cut him and just eat the money that he was owed on the partial guarantee. It ends up usually being $50,000 or something. Pelicans can handle that. So you bring in a younger player that you think might contribute next year. I think that's definitely the way to go. Don't have names. I'm not the one doing the scouting overseas or in the G League, and I can assure you the Pelicans are doing both of those things. We've seen them do pretty well pulling guys out. Bryce Dejon Jones, before the tragic end that he suffered in that awful incident, was signed for next season and was looking to be very good. Tim Frazier got significant minutes and was not horrible. Not great, you know, maybe good on this team for a couple of seasons before being traded in a bit of a cost-cutting move, but at least you had this cheap player that you felt could go out there and give you minutes on an NBA court. That's an important thing. Those guys got some seasoning with the team towards the end of seasons as well. That can be very important. That's sometimes the best time to kind of get these guys out there. They'll get kind of garbage minutes here or there. They're practicing. They understand the terminology and different things like that. That certainly can help you set up next year when you're going to be even in a tighter money crunch than you are this year, assuming they're not going to stretch or trade Ajinsa and can't move and get out of that deal. You've got to get creative other ways. Use this roster spot right now to kind of do that. You've had a lot of luck with these fringe edge moves. If you're Dell Demps, go out and work your magic to make it happen this season. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Shorter podcast today. Just wanted to get out some of these key updates. Let me know, though, what you guys want to hear the rest of the week. We don't have a game until Friday when the Pelicans take on the Miami Heat. So what other topics do you want to know? Are there players you're curious about on the buyout market? We can talk about them. Where do they go from here the rest of the season? There's a lot of questions still surrounding this team. I'll have some updates on other things as we get through the week worth of podcasts here. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.